Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, Brian Charette. Brian, how are you doing today?
We use the word special loosely. I'm doing well, Grayson. How are you?
Good. And I should call you a returning guest.
I have been a guest before.
Yes. Always good conversations. So at the time of this recording, Pastor Margaret is taking some much needed time off. And so Brian agreed to join me today. And today we're going to be talking about the book of Revelation in the Bible and what it says and its importance and its relevance to us even today. So Brian, on the topic of Revelation in the Bible, I think you're very passionate, as I and as all Christians should be, on the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God and the relevance of the Word of God. So on the book of Revelation, talk about, first of all, its importance and why it was written for us.
Well, when I think of the book of Revelation, and it's very challenging when you said, I think I'd rather sing for 30 minutes than exposit the book of Revelation. But since I can't sing, I'm willing to do this. So I've given this quite a bit of prayer and thought. I'm not an expert on the book of Revelation. So I'd like to say a couple of things before we get into the actual book of Revelation. People are fascinated with the end times, as they should be. It's fascinating, and we have hope in front of us if we're in Christ. And, you know, you go back. I remember reading about the Millerites, who were in the 19th century, the 1860s or so. The guy who kept saying that Jesus was coming in 1861 and 1863, Jesus never came, and people would sell all their possessions because they believed him.
Right.
Or I remember a little pamphlet. You're too young to remember this, but there was a little pamphlet in 1988.
I was
called,
actually a year old.
Oh, you were a year old in 1988?
Yeah.
So you don't remember this.
I was born, though, is what I'm letting you know.
Thank
I
you.
Was here.
Thank you. You're still a kid. You're a mature kid, but you're a kid. There was a book in 1988 called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming or the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. And it really had some people twisted in knots, despite the fact that we will not know the day or the hour. And then, of course, you have the Left Behind books. Many of those are, those are based on some
solid. I remember those videos.
So there's a fascination with the end times, and that there probably always will be. So before I talk about what's to come, I think the thing that's important is the condition of my soul today.
Right.
I don't know exactly if the rapture will happen the way people think it will. Some reputable scholars and pastors don't think the rapture will be like it's discussed.
Right.
I don't know when Jesus is coming back or what the world will be like. You can certainly make the case that it seems like we're close when
right.
you look at the world today and, you know, famines and earthquakes right. and wars and rumors of wars. I think the most important thing as you and I sit here today and as people are listening, it's the condition of our soul. I think about Matthew 7, 13 and 14, where Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So before I concern myself with things like what does 666 mean or who the beast is or the Antichrist, I want to make sure I'm among those few, that Jesus knows me, that he is my heart, and I'm fully surrendered to him. So as you're listening, if you're interested in the end times, as I am, the first concern that I have for me and for my family and those I love is the condition of our soul. Does Jesus know me? Will I end up in heaven? That's what should occupy most of my energy today. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, before you get to Revelation, I always recommend to people when it comes to the end times, you start with Jesus. What does Jesus say about the end times? Now, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus. So the book of Revelation is a Jesus book. It is the vision given to John by Jesus. But before that, about probably 60 years before that, somebody asked Jesus about what the end times would be like. And he answered them. And you'll find it in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Just a little bit of it. Jesus left the temple and was walking away. This is Matthew 24, verse 1. And was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Well, truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So that's really apocalyptic language. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So I'm not going to read the Olivet Discourse, but in that case, people look at his disciples, look at Jesus and say, tell us about the end times. And so for Matthew 24 and 25, that's what Jesus talks about. So I recommend that as you study the end times, start there, that this is the Olivet Discourse is where we get this. Matthew 24, 36, but about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
Right.
So we can know some things about what's coming and the last judgment and the great war and the new heaven and the new earth. We can know some things about that. And that's what Revelation is for. But we're not going to know the when. I remember reading, some people have tried their way around us. I remember reading somebody who was predicting when Jesus would come back. And they said they knew, based on a study of Daniel and Revelation, those, they knew exactly when Jesus was coming back. And somebody said to them, but Jesus himself says we're not going to know the day or the hour. Mm-hmm. And this guy's response was, well, that doesn't mean we can't know the month or year. Well, that's just silly. That misses the point entirely. So I'm going to get into Revelation. But before I do that, let me ask you, when you think of the book of Revelation, and I mean you, Grayson Willis, when you think of the book of Revelation, you've obviously read the book of Revelation. You've known the Lord for a long time. What comes to mind for you?
People get ready. Jesus is coming. I mean, that's put simply, but yes. When you were talking about the other things, you know, from a worldly perspective about the 88 reasons he was coming. Yeah. I wasn't old enough to remember that, but I am old enough to remember Y2K and the big, everybody thinking goods. That the world was coming to an end then. So
I could not have said that better. Thanks for joining us today on Hope Talks. People get ready. Jesus is coming. That's a beautiful way to put the book of Revelation. I think the tricky part about Revelation is all of the symbolic language. There's a lot of symbolism. It's a vision. It is a projection, a picture given to John by Jesus of what will come near term and what will come long term. But it isn't just confusing language. I think sometimes people are intimidated by the book of Revelation, don't really want to read it because it's got a lot of stuff in it that's crazy. I mean, beasts and horns and lampstands and bowls and the four horsemen. And so there is...
Don't miss the main point.
Absolutely. And that's the main point. So let me... I don't want to read too much scripture, but I do want to read... It's important to establish the book of Revelation and its purpose. So I'm in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place... He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So we get the setup. John's on the island of Patmos. He's been banished there. And an angel comes to him and reveals this, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a Jesus book. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and that's why I'm reading it aloud right now. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So you don't get many books that specifically say, you're blessed when you read this. Pay attention. Do what's written in it. So right from the start, Revelation is saying, essentially, don't be afraid of this book. Don't hesitate about this book. Don't be intimidated by this book. But you'll be blessed if you read it and do what it says. And so in verse 17 of that chapter 1, John is writing, when I saw him, this is Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead. And now look, I'm alive forever and ever and hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you've seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands lampstands are the seven churches. So right away, Jesus starts by acknowledging that this is going to be partly about the future. And he even starts by interpreting some of the symbols right away, as if to say, you don't need to be freaked out about this. These things you're about to see mean something. And what's interesting about, there are people, there's a whole stream of thought that doesn't believe that Revelation is in the future for us today. There's a stream of thought called preterism, where the idea behind preterism is that everything you read in books like Revelation that we interpret as prophetic in our future have already been accomplished. So they believe that Revelation doesn't offer anything to us for our future. But I don't see how that what they say is that Revelation points to the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. But I don't think you can read this and say there isn't an element here where the Lord is saying this is how things will unfold in the last days. So the letter is built around an address to seven churches in Asia Minor: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And so this letter is a vision for those seven churches about what's to come and where they are. And there's plenty about the message to those churches that are not full of symbolic at all. I mean, read the message to, here's what he writes to one of the seven churches, Ephesus, which we know from the book of Ephesians. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil. This is Revelation 2:2. But have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. The seven churches are under Roman persecution, so these letters are designed to correct, encourage them. But I have this against you. So he's writing to Ephesus. He says, you're doing some things great, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. So here's an example how it doesn't take much to figure out what he's saying to the church at Ephesus and to apply that to us in 2025. It doesn't take interpretation. I can see what that means, that as a faithful church will be patient, a faithful church will not bear with evil in its midst. It will test the spirits, test the apostles, be patient and bear up and not grown weary. Of an effective church in 2025 will do all those things and will also be weary about its first love. So that's an example of how, yes, Revelation is full of all kinds of symbolic language that often scares and intimidates people, but it's also full of language that's very clear and honest and helpful for us in 2025. So that is all kind of a setup for the nature of the book of Revelation. And to quote Grayson Willis, people get ready, Jesus is coming.
That's actually in a song, so I'm not, not quoting.
I understand that, but it's a great way to do it. Do you remember a couple of men's retreats ago, I did a survey before the men's retreat, and one of the questions, in your lifetime, do you think the Lord is coming back? And I remember it was 70%. 70% of the men we surveyed, this was a group of faithful, godly men, about 100 or so, and we did this survey before this men's retreat, and the question was, do you believe the Lord is coming back in your lifetime? And 70% said yes. Let me ask, were you surprised by that number when you heard it?
Maybe. I mean, was that the most recent one, or was that
no,
the time?
Okay, no,
I think it
that was
lower
2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
The most recent one, it was still significant, but it was down to 60%.
Yeah, I mean, I would think 70. I would have think maybe 50-50 or something. I don't know what to put a number on it, but I would have. But I mean, for me, it was, you know, you would say this is a trick way of answering it, but I answered yes because I'm like, he's coming back for me. He's coming back for each of us.
Yes.
That's how, you know, the Nazarene Church leaves a lot of open for interpretation on Revelation because we don't know.
We don't know.
It says, the Bible says Jesus doesn't even know the day and the hour, only the Father. So
that's why I started the way I started. Yeah. You make sure you are surrendered to Jesus today. Yeah. Don't worry a whole lot about tomorrow, but your first focus is on loving him today, worshiping him today, being a faithful disciple today, because we don't. I mean, Revelation gives us a lot of information, a lot of clues about what the judgment will be like, and we have some idea, but I don't think, we certainly don't know the when.
Right.
And I don't think anybody really has a perfect linear map of what's to come. But Revelation is still very helpful, and it's still a sobering warning to us with a very, very happy ending. Right. So let me, I look around, and since I put you on the spot, I'm a lot older than you. So whether he's coming back in my lifetime gives him less time than coming back in your lifetime. I do believe and know that the reason he's tarrying, the reason he's delaying is because there's still people I love who don't know the Lord. And the more he delays, the more opportunity people have to get saved.
But here's how I look at that, Brian. You talk about because you're older than me, but we never know.
Nope.
None of us are promised tomorrow, no matter our age.
Exactly.
I mean, and even the Bible says, you know, you said focus on today. Well, the Bible says to focus on today, not to worry about tomorrow, for today has enough worries of its own.
Amen.
So
if I answer the question, boy, it looks, I mean, talk about everything being fulfilled and talk about the world being in chaos. So if you force me, I don't know how much time I have left on earth, but I'm going to say yes. I don't know. No idea. I hope all the people I love who are not saved get saved before he comes. But I'm going to go ahead and say yes, and I might be wrong. So let me talk a little bit about the symbolism in Revelation, because I know it's hard when someone says they're going to talk about the book of Revelation. So far, all I've done is set it up. So, and the program's almost over. So I do want to say something, and maybe you'll invite me back and we'll do a part two of Revelation.
Yeah, that would be great.
Revelation. But I do want to address the symbolic language and say a couple of things, and you're going to have to watch the time for me, okay?
We got plenty of time.
Okay. Yes, there is symbolic language in the book of Revelation. And Jesus, as I read earlier, actually in the beginning of his message, starts to translate some of that symbolism as if to say, now, John, keep listening. Don't freak out. Don't go into the fetal position. Some of the things you're going to see and hear are going to seem confusing and unusual to you, but they mean something, and I want you to hear every word. I think that's one reason Jesus made the translation. So one of the things that we don't grasp, since we're reading Revelation in 2025, a lot of it is strange symbolism to us, but it would not have been as strange to John's first readers. Most people believe that Revelation was written in about 90 AD. There are some arguments that it was written before the fall of the temple, and you can do your own study. But I'm going to go with the 90 date. I think a lot of the people who, Polycarp and Irenaeus and Clement, the people who followed, you know, early, they were early second century. They, in writing about John, especially Irenaeus, seem to indicate that the emperor, when John wrote Revelation, was Domitian, not Nero. And so if it was Domitian, it puts it about 90 AD. So John's first readers would have understood much more about the symbolism right off the top of their head, because they knew, if they knew scripture, because a lot of the symbolism in Revelation isn't new. It's not brand new that it's just being revealed. And I'll give you some examples. So in Revelation 5:5, it reads, "Then one of the elders said to me," this is the middle of the vision, the elders are speaking, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." So if you knew the Old Testament, that language about the Lion of Judah and the Root of David would not cause any mystery to you. So, for instance, Genesis 49:9. This is the first book of the Bible, so long way before Revelation. "Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him?" So this language as the Messiah, the Savior as lion, would not have been new to the people who read Revelation. Or the Root of David, another term. Isaiah 11:1, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse," we know that stump, "and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." So this language in Revelation, which is referencing Jesus, the Messiah, may seem a little strange. Why not just say Jesus? But to the people who are reading this, they wouldn't have stumbled with that because they would be familiar with that. So another big one is the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. Revelation, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypto. And it doesn't mean, people think apocalypse means great war because we see Armageddon and, you know, late great planet Earth kind of stuff. But apocalypse just means to reveal, to make manifest. So apocalyptic literature is really literature like Revelation that reveals God. So in this, we read about in Revelation 6, you read about the four horsemen who are part of this vision John sees. And they've been called the four horsemen of the apocalypse because they're judgments. And so that's symbolic language. Four horsemen would have been kind of strange to us to picture, you know, how these horses riding in the sky and all those things. But if you were originally reading Revelation, you might think of Zechariah chapter 1, which says, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red sorrel and white horses. And then I said, what are these, my Lord? The angel talked to me, said, I will show you what they are. So this is a very similar vision in Zechariah, as you see in Revelation. So right. People reading Revelation for the first time would have said, ah, I've seen this before. Right. The Lord in his vision is taking me back, and he's saying, this is a fulfillment of promises you already know about. Right. So it isn't so strange. One more. But I do want to give some examples of these, because people who are listening to this by now, if you've hung with us, right, you are really interested in Revelation. So I don't want to disappoint you. And I wonder, as you listen, I wonder what your thoughts are. I wonder if you think the Lord is returning in your lifetime. In other words, I wonder how soon you think the events of Revelation will take place on the earth. Do you think it's a long, long time away? Do you think it's in your lifetime, or do you think a lot more has to happen before? So we don't know the answer, but as you're listening to this broadcast, I wonder how you're processing it. So let me do one more. The famous mark of the beast. In Revelation, we read about the mark of the beast and people who take the number 666 on their foreheads and hands. That's a very famous image. And you get into language about who the beast is. Is the beast the same thing as the Antichrist? And we can get into that later, but that whole marking takes us back. The people of Israel, the people who are reading Revelation, the people who had a history in the scripture, would go back when they heard about the marking of the forehead and the hands. They would think about what's called the Shema, which was this prayer of consecration. So Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit on your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So this Shema is the godly marking of the child of God. In Revelation, it's a bastardization of that. It is the marking of those dedicated to the beast. And since Revelation is about this great final battle, it's not unusual to have this warfare language. But my point is, when people read that, we think, what is it about tattooing your forehead and hands? Why will this beast require this number, 666? Well, the reason, the people who first read Revelation, the first recipients, would have said, ah, this is a turning around of godliness. This is a turning on its
perverting
head. Correct. Godliness. And so you would gain a lot of meaning from that. You would say, okay, that's what this beast is all about. This beast is on not inventing new necessarily, but on taking what are God's purposes and what is God's will and flipping it on its head. So we think, well, that's kind of weird. Now, I don't know how much to say about the number 666. If you invite me back, we can talk about that. There are a lot of theories about 666 and how it marks the Antichrist or the beast or this sort of final representation of Satan. And I've seen lots of interpretations. And when I come back, we can get more. You know, I've seen silly things like people who didn't like Ronald Reagan. Some people think he was the greatest president of all time. Some people think he didn't. Well, Ronald Reagan's name was Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters in his first name, six letters in his middle name, six letters in his last name. Well, I assure you, Ronald Reagan was not the Antichrist. Some people think it was Adolf Hitler. But Adolf Hitler didn't, he was evil, but he didn't fulfill the description of the Antichrist. Some say that the number specifically comes from the fact that in some languages, like Hebrew, letters can represent numbers. And they believe that the Emperor Nero was the Antichrist. Those are the people who don't believe that Revelation is in our future, but it was in theirs. And they make the case that if you write out Nero's name, it amounts to 616. Then there are those who say there are some manuscripts that actually say 616, and they go down an entirely separate line. So I don't think anybody can give it is. Let's say this. Don't get the mark of the beast, right. No matter what the mark of the beast is, whether it's 666 or Daffy Duck cartoon. Your allegiance is in the Shema. You belong to the Lord. You are his and you are dedicated. And his word is what's going to be written on your forehead. And his identity is what's going to be written on your hand. So even if you never in this lifetime figure out what 666 means, you know the Shema. You know the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And maybe that's what you think of when you think of. So if the beast tries to turn God stuff upside down, you turn the beast stuff back right side up. Right. So have you ever thought, you're familiar with 666, right? What's your theory? I've given you a few.
I don't really spend a lot of time worrying. I know a lot of people think different things are the marks of the beast and they already think that that's starting to happen. And I feel like as a believer, I don't get caught up a whole lot. And because I worry more about who I'm following, who's marking me.
That's right.
As a child of God, and don't worry about, you know what I'm saying.
So do you think, let me ask you this, since you brought it up, I think it's a good question. You know, I'm sure you agree with text from Revelation 1, which says reading and understanding Revelation is a good thing. You'll be blessed if you do it. And I will say to the listeners, I'm not an expert on Revelation. I said that at the beginning. There are plenty of good, reliable, biblical scholars that you can study to find out more. Do you think we're too interested in the last days? Do you think we've become too interested in it?
Well, I mean, my perspective, like you were talking about for those listening today about thinking about, will he return in our lifetime or not? The reason I answered the question you're talking about on the men's retreat the way I did is because whether he comes back before we die or whether we die to go be with him, we need to be ready.
Yes.
And that's what's most important. And we need to make sure others are ready.
So let me read the last word before we close. For those in Christ, the best possible ending is in store. So just let me read. This is the end of Revelation. We've touched some on the content of Revelation, the purpose of Revelation. If I come back for part two, we'll get more into some of this.
It'll be when, not if.
The stuff. So let me just read the last word. This is the last writing in the book of Revelation. This is how it ends. This is verse 16 and 22. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. So he's saying, this is the purpose of this book. I am the root. Remember that language? So you didn't even have to know that because he's telling you, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. He's going back to the beginning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. One of your dad's favorite expressions is Maranatha, which means
Maranatha.
Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. I warn, then he says in verse 18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. And if in this broadcast I've added to or taken away anything, I'm repenting in the name of Jesus right now. And then the end, here's the last word. Last word of your Bible. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Amen.
Happy ending.
Yep. And if he says that as the last words, those are pretty important words that we should pay attention to.
Maybe when we read the book of Revelation, we should start with the last chapter and then go back to number
one. Isn't that how they say people that read books, they read the last chapter? I don't do that. I'm just saying I've heard people saying that. They don't want, if it has a bad ending, they don't want to read.
But this is, I guess.
This is a good ending.
I mean, it's sobering.
Good for believers.
For believers, because, the truth is, you can't read the Bible and not understand that, hell will have people in it. It is the biggest tragedy. Yeah. And so it should create urgency for you and me. Right. When we read Revelation, we should see, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray, come, Lord Jesus. I want you to come soon. But until then, I'm going to be busy with the work of your kingdom. And if you put someone who doesn't know you in my path, I'm going to love them in your name because I want to do all in my power to influence them so that they will find that narrow path and the life that's in it.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate today's conversation and look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Grayson.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Dr. Brian Charette and myself talking about Revelation, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.